Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies take on the Pelicans tonight away. We'll talk about that game coming up. We'll talk about a little bit of the injury report as well. And then we'll talk about some more trade targets for the Grizzlies that should go after in the upcoming week before the trade deadline. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. The relentless Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the show. Like I mentioned, the Grizzlies have a big game against the Pelicans tonight, a game against a team who is right behind them, and not right behind them, but behind them in the NBA standings and kind of the race for the eighth spot. A lot of people think that the Pelicans will have a much better shot at making the playoffs than the Grizzlies. In terms of the ease of schedule the rest of the way, the Grizzlies have a difficult schedule the rest of the way. So we'll talk about the game for a little bit and what the Grizzlies might expect. But most importantly, the Grizzlies might not have any players. So the injury report looks a little like this. Who are definitely out, already been ruled out, is Grayson Allen. We know he has a left hip injury. Bruno Caboclo also has been out for quite a while. Doubtful was DeAnthony Melton. He did not play in the last game as well because of that left-hand soreness. And he did go through shoot-around today, according to our friend Amari Sankofa. DeAnthony Melton did participate in shoot-around, but someone did not participate in shoot-around was Brandon Clark. Left hip soreness is what he's been officially added to the injury report as doubtful for tonight. So I would be surprised if Brandon Clark played if he didn't go through shoot-around. Sometimes that happens. So more importantly, so you have Grayson out, DeAnthony out, possibly Brandon out. You also have Jaren Jackson Jr. out for suspension. You also have Marco Gudrich out for suspension from the previous game against the Knicks for leaving the bench. Again, I've already done a show on that. The last episode, if you want to hear me rant about that, it's a good one. I suggest you go listen to it because I express my feelings about how the Knicks are a complete joke and they should close down shop. But nonetheless, they will not be available for the game tonight. So I would originally think that you would have Brandon Clark start in the place for Jaren Jackson Jr. alongside Jonas Valanciunas, but now I'm not so sure. If you don't have DeAnthony Melton available, if you don't have Brandon Clark available, I would assume that Brandon Clark would have started in place of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s suspension alongside Jonas Valanciunas. But if you don't have Brandon Clark available, I would assume they'd probably go with Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill as kind of the front court there, small forward alongside Jonas Valanciunas. But you probably see John Dillon and Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, and then Jonas Valanciunas as well. Which again, that severely depletes the bench. Now you have Tyus Jones coming off the bench, and if you don't have DeAnthony Melton, and if you don't have Brandon Clark, and if Solomon Hill is already starting, there's not a whole lot to go to. You also don't have Marco Gudrich. You also don't have Grayson Allen. I mean, they might only play like seven guys tonight. I mean, you might have Tyus Jones off the bench, and you might have John Conchar play, and I would presumably you see Josh Jackson. This is the game, if anything, you're probably going to see Josh Jackson play, I would hope. If Josh Jackson doesn't play tonight, he's never playing. I'll put it like that. Because if DeAnthony Melton doesn't play, if Brandon Clark doesn't play, you have a serious deficit of players. That would be four regular rotation players or three regular rotation players at the least in terms of Jaren, Brandon, and DeAnthony out. There are guys that are playing 20 minutes a game that are just not going to play. And then you throw Marco in there who was spot minutes here and there, and he's out too. So they got a problem, and I don't expect them to win this game against the Pelicans. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I really honestly don't know what would happen. Maybe Maybe Josh Jackson goes out there and lights it on fire. But if Josh Jackson doesn't play tonight, he's not going to play. Like, he's never playing for this team at all, ever, period. Because if you can't get in the game when they're all, a lot of your rotation players are out, then you're in trouble. Now, if Brendan Clark plays, I would assume he'd start alongside Jonas Valanciunas if he plays. If D'Anthony Melton plays, I'd assume he'd come off the bench. In terms of who I think will play and who I won't, I'd say I'd give D'Anthony Melton the probably the nod before I would Brendan Clark, because he went through shoot around. I don't know. Sometimes I just want extra time to rest before they get to the game and they see how they feel. So we'll see what happens in terms of D'Anthony Melton and Brendan Clark. If those two guys don't play alongside Jaren Jackson Jr. and Marco Guterich not being available as well, I think the Grizzlies are probably in trouble. But I do think you would see Josh Jackson in that situation. So maybe those guys sitting would be good, because everybody wants to see Josh Jackson play. Everybody wants to see what Josh Jackson can do. So maybe those guys being not available would be good for the Josh Jackson crowd, including myself, who wants to see him play on the court with alongside Ja Morant, alongside Dylan Brooks, and just see what you got. That was the whole reason. And you don't have a whole lot of time left if you're planning on trading Josh Jackson, which I would hope so. If you're not going to pick up his option next year, and if you're not going to play him, please just trade him. Please. If you're not going to do anything with him, just go out and get anything you can get. Get a ghost second round pick. Who cares? Just go out and see what you have. Just see what you can get for Josh Jackson. I still think there would be a market for him to be able to play in this league. So if you can't do it then, you probably can't do it at all. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this Pelicans matchup. We'll get into some trade targets. And then we'll get into some trade targets in the second and the last segment of the show as well. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you, because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on all the action with MyBookie. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back to the show. The Pelicans have been up and down lately. They won their last two. They beat the Celtics. They beat the Cavaliers, which the Cavaliers are awful. So that's kudos to you for beating the Cavaliers. But they did beat the Boston Celtics. They lost to the Nuggets. They lost to the Spurs. And the Grizzlies obviously beat them the last time they played, about a week and a half ago. So they go to New Orleans. This is a away game for the Grizzlies. They go down to take on the Pelicans. They got to take on the Pelicans with Zion Williamson these days. So that will be fun to see Zion Williamson play in a game. I haven't watched a lot of him. He hasn't been playing a lot, only about a week or so. But he looks like a guy that can really play in this league. And it'll be fun to watch him and Jog go at it together. In terms of who the Pelicans are, they're a lot like the Grizzlies. They are sixth in points per game. They score a lot of points. They are 28th in opponents' points per game. They score a lot of points, and they let a lot of points get scored on them. They play at a very quick pace, fifth in the league right now. The defensive rating is 22nd out of 30 in the league, so not a great defense. So, I mean, they're a little bit like the Grizzlies in terms of how they play and the style of basketball they play on the court every single night. They are third in the league in three-pointers attempted. Three-pointers made, excuse me. They're fifth in the league in three-pointers attempted and third in the league in three-pointers made. They're first in the league in field goals attempted. So they really get up and down the court and shoot the basketball a lot. They try to get you out in transition, try to get you out and fast break, turn you over, and create extra possessions. That's who the Pelicans are. Again, it's a lot like looking in the mirror for the Grizzlies in terms of what they do on the three-point line, in terms of getting up and down the court. So you should see a fast-paced game, I would think, against the Pelicans, and a lot of a high scoring game. And it should be a fun game. One thing you can do for them, though, is you can get them in the paint. You can beat them at their own game. They give up a lot of points in the paint every single game, and they are susceptible to a lot of block shots. I think Jaren would have had a great game if he played, but he won't. But you can get inside on them quite easily going downhill in the paint area. I think that Jonas Valanciunas should have a big game against these guys because they don't play a true center type of guy. And that's usually to some advantage, disadvantage. When we talk about that with Jonas Valanciunas, sometimes he can take advantage of it. But if you have a team that can really pinpoint Jonas's weaknesses in terms of the driving the ball and in pick and roll, if you have a team that can exploit that and pinpoint that, then it becomes difficult for them to, you know, really take advantage of Jonas while he's out there. But if you don't have a team that can do that, if you can get around those type of things, if you can hide those type of things, Jonas should have a really good game on the rebound, on the boards, should have a really good game inside the paint. I think he can really thrive against some of their smaller bigs. So that's something I think they can take advantage of in the pick and roll, as far as Ja and Jonas together, what they can do. I think they can take advantage of the offensive rebounds, creating second chance points. That's where I would kind of look for in terms of what you're going to be able to do against this Pelicans team. And then also just Ja Morant being awesome and getting into the paint, creating offense for people. That's a factor that it doesn't show up on the analysis, doesn't show up in stats or anything like that. It's a factor that's just Ja Morant. So I would expect that Ja Morant's going to be very, very good tonight for the Grizzlies to be able to win, especially if Brandon Clark doesn't play, especially if De'Anthony Melton doesn't play. Although I do expect at least probably one of those guys to play. But if they both don't play, then Ja Morant will have to be very, very good for the Grizzlies to win this game. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about a couple more trade targets the Grizzlies should go after in the next coming week. Our next trade target is Malik Beasley. This guy's been talked about a lot. I've talked about him a lot. Everybody's talked about him a lot. But who is Malik Beasley and why would you want him? You'd want him because he's good at basketball. That's why. It's pretty simple. Now, Malik Beasley is a guy who does not play a lot for the Denver Nuggets right now. He is kind of on the outside looking in. They have committed money to Jamal Murray. They have committed money to a lot of different people. And Malik Beasley ain't the guy they committed money to. So he's not getting a whole lot of minutes in terms of what he was doing last year. He's about 15 minutes a game. He was up there about 25 minutes a game last year, only scores 5-6 points a game. But he's shown in this league that he can play. Last year, let's take last year for example, Sav, because it's better. 81 games, full year, 25 minutes a game. He shot 40% from three at 5 attempts, scored 11, 12, 13 points a game, somewhere around there. But he's a guy that could score the basketball. That's what you need on this team. Again, now whether that's in front of Dylan Brooks, whether that's alongside Dylan Brooks, doesn't matter. I think that he's a gettable guy because he is a guy that is kind of on the outs with the Denver Nuggets because they know they're not going to be able to pay him. So they're most likely probably going to trade him. Like, I think he is a very, very gettable, tradable asset just because of the situation and what happened in terms of all the other guys around Malik Beasley. I think he's gettable just because of that right there. And I think the Denver Nuggets are willing to trade him because of that right there. So I would go after Malik Beasley. Again, we talked about Joe Harris. It's the same situation. He's a restricted free agent, so you get him. I think if you actively go after those people, you can bring them in. Again, you can control their bird rights. You can sign them for 5 years if you want. I know a lot of people say, well, just, you know, you have a lot of cap space. Just go out and make a big offer to Malik Beasley or Joe Harris or whomever it might be. Just make a big offer of $16, $17, $18 million a year. Overpay for 2 years because you can afford it. I'm not looking to overpay for 2 years. That's not what this exercise should be. I'm looking to have a guy for the next 5 years. I want the third piece or the fourth piece to this team to play alongside Ja Morant, to play alongside Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson, Jonas, if you include him, Brandon Clark, D'Anthony, all those guys. I'm looking for the next piece along 4 years. I want, or 5 years. I want him here for the long term. I don't care about 2 years. Joe Harris is the same guy we talked about before. Same thing, same situation. I want Malik Beasley for the next 5 years because I think he's a good basketball player, and I want to lock him up on a good, good contract. And guess what? If you trade for him now, you can have his bird rights, and you can control his destiny. You can control what you want to do with him. If no one pays the money, no one offers him an overpay to come and be where you're going and be at their a team for the next 4 years or whatever it is. If no one overpays, then guess what? You get the discount for 5 years. I think someone will offer him a contract. That's not what I'm saying. I just think that you can control what you're going to do in terms of the offseason better if you already have him in your fold. Yes, you might have to give up assets to get him, but you might not have to give that much. I mean, in terms of what would it take to get Malik Beasley, I don't think it would take all that much. I think it would take a Jay Crowder, maybe Jay Crowder in a second round pick. I really think that's all it would take. Or maybe just a future first. You have them in the stockpile. This is the time to use them. Like, you, if you're going to stockpile extra picks and extra assets, this is the time to use them. This is the time to go out and get guys that you think will be good on your team for the long term. And I think Malik Beasley is one of those guys. So I think you could probably get him without, even without giving a first-round pick. You could probably get him for Jay Crowder or maybe a Josh Jackson and a second-round pick, a good second-round pick. I think that would probably get it. Again, we have a whole slew of trade options in with Malik Beasley in them in the Andre Iguodala trade special. I believe it's part one that all the Nuggets trades are in there. So he's in almost every trade. So go check that out for exactly like which trade I would do off the bat. But Malik Beasley is a target I would definitely pursue for sure. The next trade target I want to talk about is Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson is a wing for the Miami Heat. And I think he's a guy that if you ever see the like efficiency ratings, it has Brandon Clark, how efficient Brandon Clark is in this league. Well, guess who's like a few spots around him or behind him or in front of him? It's Duncan Robinson. Like, he's very, very efficient in this league. 12 points a game right now in 28 minutes for the Heat. He shoots 46% from the field on eight attempts per game. Shoots the ball really, really well from three. 44% right now on almost eight attempts per game. Shoots the ball really, really well from behind the arc. I mean, would be a great guy off the bench for the Grizzlies, and I think it's somebody you should really pursue hard. I know that, again, we talked about the Miami Heat and the Andre Iguodala trade special, and Duncan Robinson is in a few of those trades just because I like Duncan Robinson, and I think he's a guy that can be had. And I know I say that it can be had in terms of how good he is, and wouldn't the Miami Heat just want to keep a guy like that? Well, yeah, they probably would, but their cap sheet is a mess. They have James Johnson on a player option next year for $15 million. They got Kelly Olynyk on a player option for next year because they're definitely they're most 100% accepting these player options. His player option is $12 million next year. Jimmy Butler is $35 million next year. Justice Winslow is $13 million next year. Deion Waiters is, and Deion Waiters isn't even playing. Deion Waiters is $12.5 million next year. Tyler Herro is $3.5 million next year. Like, they got a lot of money tied up into not a lot of guys. And even if you put in some other cap holds for two other restricted free agents, I didn't even talk about Kendrick Nunn, who they're going to definitely want to pay and keep him. I think it's a situation they're going to probably have to decide between Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep both those guys, because I think both of those guys are probably going to get paid. And yes, they're under contract for next year, but they're going to want the money. And I think if you can go out and get someone like Duncan Robinson before he comes up available for free agency, then you go out and do that for sure. Duncan Robinson, I think, is a guy that just based off, they probably are going to keep Kendrick Nunn, because let's be honest, Kendrick Nunn is playing out of his mind right now and is a very, very good rookie. Like, amazing right now, and could possibly be rookie of the year if you're not a Ja Morant fan like I am. Like, very good. So I think you get in a situation where, again, similar to the Nuggets, where they have a lot of guys, a lot of young guys just happen to be really good, they didn't think would be really good, and you could take advantage of that because their cap space is a mess, especially if you're able to take back someone like James Johnson or Kelly Olynyk into your cap space, because James Johnson is on the books next year for $15 million. So if you're able to alleviate some of their cap space so that they can pay whoever they need to pay, then you're helping them out. I don't even know if it would cost you a pick. Maybe they just want cap space flexibility, and Duncan Robinson is the price to pay for that. I really don't know if it's much more than that. Maybe you got to send a second round pick along with it. But I think if you start the conversation in terms of, and again, if you go back to the Andre Iguodala trade special, some of these exact trades are in there. Go listen to that. But if you start the conversation with the Miami Heat in terms of, I want to help you get cap flexibility, and we're willing to take on bad contracts because we have all the cap space, I think you can do it, because Duncan Robinson doesn't come off the books until after next year. He's still under contract for next year as well. So he'll still be at the one point, whatever, the middle of exception that he signed. He'll still be there while you still have the big contract of James Johnson of $15 million on your books, and after James Johnson comes off your books at $15 million a year, or Kelly Olynyk at $12.5 million a year, then you're able to pay Duncan Robinson what you need to pay him. And so I think by that time, you're able to create even more cap flexibility for yourself in the long-term situation. He's not a restricted free agent. It's not like some of the other guys we talked about. But again, Duncan Robinson would be a guy that I would be laser focused on trying to get him.
I think it would be great off the bench, especially if you're going to put Jonas Valanciunas on the bench at any point. You would have Duncan Robinson or Brandon Clark starting and some one of those guys coming off the bench. So you'd have maybe Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. starting, Duncan Robinson and Jonas Valanciunas coming off the bench, which I think is an absolutely insane combination for bigs, and you'd be set for several years at that position. Stay tuned for more trade targets. We'll be doing several more of these, probably got 9 or 10 more guys next week up until the trade deadline. So keep looking out for trade news as well. If a trade news happens or breaks next week, we will hop on and do an emergency podcast, talk about the trade, all those type of things like we did during the summer. But make sure you go and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of those shows coming up next week before the trade deadline.